Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, Chris Russell will jump on with us, and we'll talk Caps with him. Their big win last night. They are in the postseason. They will face the Rangers. Game one, I don't think, is set yet, but it'll happen some point Saturday or Sunday. But 8 days away, 1 week from tomorrow night, we will be on the clock here in Washington at number two after what we all expect to be Caleb Williams going number one to Chicago. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Luke Easterling. Luke's been on the show before. He is a draft evaluator, a draft expert for Athlon Sports. Follow Luke on X on Twitter at Luke Easterling. So before I get to your latest mock draft, Luke, and who you think Washington will take, give me your order after evaluating these quarterbacks. What's your order of, let's just say, the top, you know, six that are perceived top six, you know, before you get to somebody like Rattler?
Yeah, so, I mean, at the top, I still think it's Caleb Williams. You know, I know he had kind of a roller coaster year last year and maybe kind of didn't live up to expectations, but I think it's, you know, I think he was undefeated in games in which the Trojans didn't give up 35 or more points. So I think there's a lot to be said for the supporting cast that he was working with there. So I think talent-wise, I think he's still at the top of that group. I think that just below him is its own tier with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think they bring different things to the table. I think Drake May is probably a little bit better of a pocket passer. He's still a good athlete. He can still make, you know, plays outside the pocket, pick up some extra yards when you need him to. He can maneuver within the pocket. Jaden Daniels, I thought, made huge strides as a pocket passer last year, got a lot better than we had seen him. And obviously, he's just got elite game-breaking speed. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps defensive coordinators awake at night. So depending on what you like, I'm sure we'll get into this with the Washington side of things. But, you know, those two guys are really 2A, 2B for me. And then I think there's a decent gap after that. The next guy is Michael Penix Jr. for me. I know that's not going to be the way it plays out during the draft. I'm fully expecting J.J. McCarthy to be a top 10, maybe even top 5 pick. In terms of my own evaluations of them, though, Michael Penix Jr. would be the fourth quarterback in that group. I'd feel comfortable with him, you know, anytime on the back half of the first round. I just think he's one of the best pure throwers in this draft. He proved at the pro day how much of an athlete he is. I know he didn't get to show it as much in Washington's scheme. He didn't really have to. But again, clean bill of health at the combine, two straight years with no injuries, led the FBS in passing. He's got a rocket arm. I like Michael Penix Jr. as the fourth best quarterback. And then the next group is all kind of grouped together. I'd actually put Spencer Rattler in that next group. J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, I think they all bring very different things. If you want the younger, you know, more upside type of guy, maybe hasn't had as much to prove as a passer because of his supporting cast, kind of the opposite of Caleb Williams, and that's J.J. McCarthy. If you want experience, efficiency, you know, accuracy, all those things that Bo Nix brings to the table, he'd probably be your guy. And then Spencer Rattler, I think, will appeal to a lot of teams because he has overcome the adversity, right? He was golden child, you know, documentary subject to you know, benched for Caleb Williams and then transferred to South Carolina. All the physical tools are still there. I think his experience of kind of the peaks and valleys of his career have prepared him mentally very well for the pro game. And I think in the right fit, man, I could imagine him in a team like the Rams sitting behind Matthew Stafford for a year and then really, really excelling in a scheme like Sean McVay. I really think there's not much separating Nicks and McCarthy from Rattler at this point for me.
You know, you said something right at the beginning, and I've said recently that the one thing that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all have in common is that they played on teams that were just horrendous defensively. And I think you said that Caleb Williams basically won every game that he started as long as his team didn't give up, what, 40 or something like that?
Yeah,
a game?
Like 35. I think it was like 34 or 35. He was undefeated or like only lost one game or something like that. It's wild.
Yeah, the three losses for Jaden Daniels last year, his team gave up 42, 45, and 55. And Drake May's losses this year, 31, 46, 31, and 39. I mean, these three quarterbacks, and one of the reasons I think, you know, and I'm with you, by the way, on Penix Jr. ahead of McCarthy, but I think one of the reasons is when you watch some of these teams like Washington would fit into the not necessarily as bad as SC's defense or LSU's defense for sure, but those quarterbacks were required to carry those teams. And so we saw so much of them essentially strapping teams to their back and winning games.
Yeah, and again, that's the difficulty with a guy like McCarthy is that you right. saw flashes and moments where it's like, oh, there is the guy I think he can be at the next level. There's another moment. You just have to put a lot of projection into his ability to do that on a regular basis if required against NFL defenses. You have to be able to believe that he can – that basically what we saw was the exception in college can become the rule for him at the next level, and that's just a huge jump that I would not be willing to make in the top five, top ten picks.
Luke Easterling from Athlon Sports is joining us. All right, let's focus in on number two. You had Daniels 2A, Drake May 2B. So you think Washington should select Jaden Daniels? What do you think they will do?
I think they will take Daniels, and I think I would too. I think, again, when you compare both of these guys, they're not perfect. They both have moments where you can still see that there's some growth to be had there. But Jaden Daniels, again, he's a very experienced quarterback. I mean, go back to his days at Arizona State. He's played a lot of football. And I feel like, again, the jump that he made as a passer over the last season that he was in college, very similar, in my opinion, to the growth we saw from Lamar Jackson the last year he was at Louisville, where he grew so much as a passer, not just from, you know, rolling out and making plays on the move, but doing it from the pocket, making tight window throws, making those deep ball throws. And obviously everybody will say, oh, well, he had Malik Nabers and he had Brian Thomas Jr. It'd be like, yeah, but if they didn't have a great quarterback, we'd be talking about the fact that they suffered because of that. You have to have a quarterback that can take advantage of those guys. And obviously Jaden Daniels did that. So if you're Terry McLaurin, you know, if you're Jahan Dotson, you're those guys that can make plays. He will maximize those guys. And when you're able to put the cherry on top with his ability to just, I mean, go watch the Alabama game, go watch the Florida game. He's making SEC defenders look like peewee players. I mean, he just from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye and can just eliminate angles and make DBs look silly and take off for 80 yards at any moment. That matters in today's NFL more than it ever has before. And so with the growth that he made as a passer and the absolute game-breaking ability that he brings as a runner, I think that's just what gives him the edge for me, and I think that's what will give him the edge for Washington.
What concerns you about Daniels?
I think the only thing that would concern me about Daniels is maybe he's a little light. You know, obviously he's a little thin-framed, and you know, Lamar Jackson was similar coming out of college too, and you worry about maybe staying healthy. But again, the mobility helps with that. He's going to be able to be smart, try to avoid hits, and not be hit as much as he possibly could. And then the other one is the production at the level we saw last year was really just 1 year, right? We saw when you see a big jump in 1 year at the end of a guy's career, you kind of wonder, you know, is everything we saw up to this point more what we're going to get at the next level? Or is what we saw at the very end of his career going to be the jumping point? Is he going to continue to be that guy, continue to grow from that point? Or is he going to regress back to the mean, basically? I think those are really the only caveats I would have with Jaden Daniels. But, man, I love the upside so much. I love what he brings to the table that I'd be willing to make that risk.
Do any of sort of the advanced analytics, pressure to sack percentage, you know, intermediate throws, lack of at the college level, tight window throws, does any of that concern you?
You know, I don't get a ton into the weeds on some of those more advanced stats. I really just try to look at the film and say, when those situations arise, what does he do? And I think, particularly, I think one of the false criticisms of Jaden Daniels is that, and this happens to a lot of mobile guys, right? If you're fast as a quarterback, it seems like a very prominent, very lazy narrative, in my opinion, is that you're automatically a one read and take off quarterback. And that's just, it's just not true. And it's not true with Jaden Daniels. I can find you plenty of moments, plenty of plays where he's back in the pocket. He's jumping on his feet from, and you can see him. You can watch him go from number one to number two to come back to a backside dig, to come back to a backside post, and not take off and run unless he absolutely has to. And so I think that growth for me is what gives me confidence that whole narrative that he's just going to, you know, he's not able to make progressions. He's not able to go through full field reads. He's not able to process opposing defenses. That's not what I saw on film. I just didn't see that. And again, there may be some analytic numbers that, if, you know, you put enough data into a system, it can churn out some things that might concern you. When I watched the film, I didn't see enough of a problem in any of those areas to make me concerned.
Yeah, I think that's important, and I've tried to emphasize it, that people who have come into this a little bit late and just looked at highlights, they see the running and they assume he's a dual-threat quarterback, he's a running quarterback. He excelled, I thought, in the pocket in a lot of the ways that you just described, not to mention I think he's a very good thrower of the football. You know, I just noticed this, and I probably said this to you the last time you were on, but Luke in 2018, before the draft, said, Lamar Jackson's my number one quarterback in the upcoming draft. Now, if you went back and redrafted 2018, would you take Josh Allen first?
I mean, I wouldn't, just because I feel like Lamar gives you a little bit something different, and I don't think he turns the ball over, particularly through the air, with the same regularity. That's really the biggest thing. Everybody loves to jump on pat me on the back for the Lamar take. I had a third round grade on Josh Allen that year, so the spectrum evened out. I think that I was very right about Lamar, but maybe a little bit wrong about Josh Allen being able to become the quarterback he was so quickly. But I think that's why, I think Lamar's ability to take care of the football and how he's grown in that way, and that is still something that at this point in his career, Josh Allen is still struggling with, making the right decisions, with not turning the ball over, especially down the field. I think they both bring very different skill sets as runners. Obviously, it's more speed with Lamar. It's more power with Josh Allen. Obviously, both guys, elite franchise quarterbacks, that would easily go 1-2. But that was something I was passionate about back then, similar to how I am with Jaden Daniels this year, is that it's selling these guys short to say, oh, because you're fast, somehow that automatically means you're lesser of a pocket passer, or you're unable to do certain things because you're fast. I always looked at it the other way around, where I saw a guy who's a very solid, improving passer who also just happens to have this trump card of speed and running ability that nobody else in the class has. And I looked at it as, you know, kind of glass half full, as a positive, as opposed to some people that kind of seem to want to view that as a negative.
The Josh I liked in that draft was Rosen. That was not a good call. We are talking to Luke Easterling. One more on Daniels, and then we'll get into May a little bit more. I don't see the comp to Lamar Jackson. Do you? I think he's more advanced as a passer at this point. What do you see?
I do think he's more advanced as a passer. I think the comparison is surface level in a lot of ways, right? He's tall and skinny. He runs really fast, and he, again, made improvements as a passer. But I agree with you. I think he is a more advanced processor and passer coming out than Lamar was coming out in that draft. I think Lamar was better at it than he got credit for, but I think I agree with you. I think Daniels is more advanced, more developed in that way, which, again, is great news for anybody, you know, whoever takes him, Washington especially. But, yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the comparison is much more surface level. When you get into it, I do think there's a lot of things that make Jaden Daniels a better prospect, which is probably why he's going to go top two instead of Lamar, who was barely a first-round pick. And some of that is to do with, obviously, the league progressing and the way they kind of view that position a little bit. But I agree with that.
Lamar's body, too, is a different body type. He's thick. He's been hurt. I'm not saying that he hasn't gotten hurt and he's missed, you know, critical games and ends of seasons. But it's two different body types. Jaden's legitimately skinny up top anyway, right?
Yeah, there's definitely some difference there. I think he's about an inch taller, I think Lamar's listed at maybe 218, and I think last time we checked, I think Jaden is at 210. So he's a little taller and a little leaner, so it's going to show up that way. But again, that's stuff that you're going to have to learn at the next level anyway. You know, you rely on the veterans around you, rely on your coaching staff. Hey, avoid this, watch out for this, make sure you don't, you know, unless you really need it, don't reach for that extra yard. Go ahead and get yourself out of bounds, protect yourself. Those are things he'll be able to learn at the next level, too, to protect himself.
All right. Tell me what concerns you about Drake May. What you like about Drake May and what concerns you about Drake May?
I mean, what I like is just, again, a very well-rounded quarterback. He's got a great arm, one of the best in the class. He's a great athlete, can get out on the move. There's not a throw he can't make, whether he's stationary or he's on the move to either side. And I think he made chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, a lot of the time there with that supporting cast, the offensive line. He was running for his life a good bit of the time, much like Caleb Williams was. Had to deal with not having his best receiver on the field for the first month of the season when Tez Walker was out waiting for the NCAA to figure out the waiver situation. And so I like a quarterback that has overcome all of those things and still displayed the talent and the ability and the flashes that we saw from him. I think, you know, my biggest concern at the next level would be similar to what we said about Josh Allen, is that there's all world talent there, but every now there's just moments where you're just like, what was that? Like, what was that decision? What was that throw? Why was that? And again, some of that you could attribute to similar to Caleb Williams as well, where it's like you feel like if your defense is always going to give up 30 points, 35 points, you've got to make the biggest play on every snap. Which means you're missing certain, you know, you're taking riskier throws instead of taking safer checkdowns. You end up making more mistakes. You end up turning the ball over more. So I think that would be the only concern at the next level, is that can he progress from saying, hey, I don't have to play hero ball all the time. I can make safer decisions. I can allow my people around me to make plays and live to play another down, as opposed to feeling like he has to save the team on every single play and have an 80-yard touchdown every time, because I think that's what led to some of his low lights that you'll see from his career.
All right. So we'll finish up with this, because you did in your latest mock draft the other day, you did a 4-round projection. Washington's got 6 picks in the top 100, as you know, Luke. And I was very intrigued with who you had them selecting with their first pick in the second round at 36. You had pass rusher, edge rusher, Chop Robinson from Penn State. Do you think there's a legitimate chance he's there that late?
You know, sometimes I go through these exercises and I get surprised when guys are still on the board at certain spots. And so I work my way back and I'm like, did I miss something where there's a spot that's obvious for this guy? Because if you look at Chop Robinson, the athlete, I mean, you're probably talking about a top 15 guy in this draft. I think the rare athletic ability, the explosiveness, he's probably the most explosive edge rusher in the entire draft off the ball. But you just look at how much work there still is left to do. I mean, he's just not polished very, very much at all. He needs to learn some pass rushing moves, so he's not just relying on that speed and burst, because that can work to a certain extent in the NFL, but you're going against 6 to 8 year vets that have seen everything and bigger, faster, more athletic guys. And that's, you've got to have something else that when they take the speed away, you've got something else to counter to. He doesn't have that yet. And again, as a run defender, he's still got a lot of growth. So I think that's what could leave him on the board that long, is if there are just teams throughout the first round that are like, man, he's a great athlete. I don't know if we have the time and the patience to invest in rounding out his game, as opposed to taking this other position or this other guy that might be able to help us more right away. That I think is what would lead to him falling into the second round there. I still would be really, really surprised if it happens. This is kind of the first time that's happened in a mock exercise for me. I think if he was there at 33 for Carolina, I think they'd probably jump at that chance, even though they need receiver help. Tampa Bay in the 20s, I think, would like to have him if the board fell right. So, I mean, it won't surprise me if he stays in the first round. But, I mean, he was on the board for them there, and obviously after trading away both their edge guys, I thought it made a lot of sense there.
They have a need for a pass rusher, for an edge rusher. They have big needs across the offensive line, specifically at tackle, both tackles, actually. Will, if they stick at 36, they've got a lot of draft capital, so they could potentially be, you know, one of those teams that makes a move into the late first round to get a player that they really like. But if they stuck at 36, will they get a starting offensive tackle?
I think they could. And again, I agree with you completely because of how much capital they have. I think they're a prime candidate to try to jump up back into the late first round if there's a tackle that they really like that's still on the board, just to make sure they get him and also get that fifth-year option on that rookie contract. I could see that happening. If they stick and pick, though, I think 36 and 40 are a great spot to get a tackle and an edge guy. I wouldn't put it past them to get two tackles if they really, really like him, right? Because I think this tackle class is so deep. We could have 6-7 offensive tackles in the first round and still end up with guys like Jordan Morgan from Arizona who could be on the board there. Kingsley Suamataia from BYU could be there. I think both those guys would be worth that pick. I really like Patrick Paul out of Houston. I think he would be a sleeper pick in that range in the second round there. So I think, again, the depth of this tackle class is a perfect year, not just for Washington to get value outside of the first round, but to double dip if they really wanted to. If they had a guy like Jordan Morgan, who they know they could stick on the left side and start right away, and then they got a guy like Suamataia at 40, and they could go left and right, that wouldn't shock me at all, and I think both those guys would start right away.
Does Washington draft a receiver before their top six in the first 100 are out?
Yes, I think they do, and I think it's because this receiver class is just too damn good. I think that there's going to be somebody, and if you look at that mock draft, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of the third, I think that 100th overall pick, that comp pick they have from the 49ers, I think I have them picking a receiver just because there's so many.
McMillan kid from Washington.
I thought it was McMillan from Washington because there's just – I it's kind of like the Chop Robinson thing. I go through these exercises, and I'm like, how in the world is insert receiver name here still on the board halfway through the second, still on the board halfway through the third, and we get all the way down to the 100th pick, and a guy like Jalen McMillan, who in any other draft would probably go in the second round, is still there. I think it's just going to be too deep a class, and they have too many picks in that range where if they stay at all of those spots, there's going to be a receiver at some point where they just tell themselves, I can't not take this guy. I can't pass on the talent that's there at the position, and because they have other picks where they can fill their other needs in different ways, I feel like at some point in that top 100, they're going to have to go receiver just because the board will fall that way.
You have them taking the tight end from Kansas State, Ben Sinnott, at 67. You have him rated higher than the kid from Ohio State, Stover?
I do. I think Ben Sinnott's one of the most well-rounded players in the whole draft. I think he's such a complete guy. He can create mismatches as a pass catcher, but he's also such a great blocker. He can line up in the backfield. He can be a move tight end. He can be a Y. He can do all the different things that you need a tight end to do, and that lets you be creative in your formations and not tip your hand, right? Sometimes if you have a one-trick pony as a tight end, one way or the other, if he's a blocking specialist or if he's just kind of a glorified wide receiver, you're tipping your hand to the defense that you're probably throwing or you're probably running. A guy like Ben Sinnott, such a great overall athlete and such a versatile player that when he's on the field, you're not telling the defense what you're doing. You can run just as well as you can throw. He can do so many things and line up in so many different spots. And I think that's going to be a sweet spot for this tight end class. And if he's still on the board, I could see him going in the second round. If he's still on the board, I think it'd be a great fit for Washington.
All right. For all you guys that do this, and I'll finish up with this, I appreciate the time. You've got somebody that you think, you know, people are sleeping on outside the top 15, outside the top 20, that you're going to look back and say you were right about. Who's that guy?
Man, there's a couple guys I really, really like. Max Melton is a corner out of Rutgers, yep. and Packers fans know all about him because Bo Melton is his brother. His mom won a conference championship at Rutgers as a basketball player. His dad played on the football team. So, like, that it runs in the family, a very athletic family there in the Melton household. But, again, versatile corner, can play inside, can play outside, had a great combine, great production, just does too many things at a high level. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I think any time in the second round he'll come off the board. I really like Junior Colson. Linebacker out of Michigan. Again, a younger guy. He's 21, but a very, very high character player. Great athlete, three down guy. There's a safety, a couple of safeties. Bo Braid out of Maryland. I really, really like. Yep. Some local people, listeners will know Bo Braid better than a lot of people. But man, I think he's a top five safety in this draft. I really, really like his game as well. Yeah, there's so many guys, man. This corner class is so deep. I could keep going on forever and ever. But this is it's a really, really deep draft class, man. It's a great class to have six picks in the top 100. I'll tell you that.
Luke, great job. Really appreciate it. Enjoy next week.
Hey, you do the same. Enjoy it. Take care.
Luke Easterling, everybody, from Athlon Sports on X, on Twitter, at Luke Easterling, joining us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. April is here, and that means springtime weather. It's important to have quality windows. If yours won't open to let in the fresh air, you need new windows. If they won't close and stay sealed tightly to keep out the pollen, bugs, you need new windows. Call Window Nation. They're the experts. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. There's no risk. If you mention my name, they will schedule a free, no obligation in-home estimate. Right now, you're going to get two free windows with every two you purchase with no payments and no interest for two full years. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed by their expert installers in a day or less. Proven quality, proven service. When you buy from Window Nation, you can rest assured you're getting affordable windows that meet or beat the ones from the national brand names. Don't miss out on your chance to afford quality windows with an unlimited buy two, get two free, plus zero interest, zero payments for two full years. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free estimate.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.